This spring, if you'd rather spend time enjoying your lawn instead of trying to keep it alive, there's good news. TruGreen is the easiest and most affordable way to get a beautiful lawn. All you have to do is water and mow, and they'll do the rest. Weed control, fertilization, aeration, and even some things you might not even think of. They'll do all of it, while you can do literally anything else. With True Green, you could have your lawn looking as good as a putting green. That's not hyperbole. True Green is the official lawn care treatment provider of the PGA Tour. True Green offers a satisfaction guarantee, and they have a verified best price promise, which guarantees you the lowest price with no compromise on quality. You do you. Let True Green do your lawn care. Visit TrueGreen.com to get the best lawn at the best price with the best people guaranteed.
Welcome, welcome to CBS Mornings. I'm Tony DeCoppel.
I'm Vladimir Dutier.
And I'm Michelle Miller.
We are going to begin once again with Russia's alarming military buildup on the borders of Ukraine. Take a look at this video showing Russian troops training near Ukraine. A U.S. official said some of those forces have moved into possible attack positions. Russia's foreign minister insists the country would still like diplomacy to continue and to work. Meanwhile, the German chancellor is meeting with Vladimir Putin today on that front. Charlie Daggett is in Ukraine for us. Charlie, good morning. Another day, another European leader meeting with President Putin. We'll see if anything comes of it.
Good morning to you, Tony. We are in the city where the U.S. Embassy has relocated, at least for now, due to that huge Russian buildup at the border. But as you said, it is a confusing picture this morning. There has been a dramatic and worrying shift in Russia's readiness to attack in the past 48 hours. In an overt show of force, troops have stepped up military drills in the region. A U.S. official tells CBS News that Russia has now moved rocket launchers and long-range artillery into firing positions. New satellite images show ground troops moving from staging areas toward combat positions and newly deployed bombers. And yet, the Russian Ministry of Defense released this footage, claiming to show the pullback of some tanks, saying troops are being withdrawn after the conclusion of some military exercises. Amid the uncertainty, American IT executive Heath Morrison decided to move his family here from Kyiv.
Are you worried?
I don't feel a huge amount of anxiety right now or worry. I worry a lot for Ukraine. I don't worry for my personal safety.
And you have a son.
Yeah, a son. He's 6 years old. I mean, definitely that's a factor. I certainly worry about his exposure to chaos or anything like that.
If there is a mass exodus of people, including Americans, it's likely they'll head here to Lviv, a vibrant city in the West. It's thought, or at least hoped, to be safer than other parts of Ukraine, and it's about an hour's drive to the Polish border. We visited that border to find it all quiet on the Western Front. Nothing unusual about the line of tractor trailers and scattering of cars crossing the border. Now, there has definitely been a change in tone this morning. The Russians are talking more about diplomacy. They're making a big deal of pulling back a few tanks and troops. But we're going to have to see what today brings. Vlad?
All right, all quiet on the Western Front for now. Charlie Daggett in Ukraine, thank you very much. With more on how the White House is responding to all this, Weijia Jiang joins us from the White House. Weijia, good morning.
Good morning to you, Brad, and good morning to everybody. President Biden had a phone call with British Prime Minister Boris Johnson Monday afternoon, hoping to hash out a diplomatic solution. But they are very realistic about what this Russian aggression could mean. These two leaders also talked about beefing up security on NATO's eastern flank and vowed once again to take severe action against Russia if it attacks. Although lawmakers on Capitol Hill have yet to reach a consensus on a sanctions package, they are still trying to work that out as well. Now, yesterday, National Security Advisor Jake Sullivan briefed senators about the situation. Both Democrats and Republicans expressed concerns afterward, agreeing that Russia is prepared to invade and that the situation is a dangerous one. Today, Defense Secretary Lloyd Austin heads to Lithuania, Poland, and Belgium, where he will attend a NATO defense meeting. He also plans to visit U.S. troops. Now, if Russia invades Ukraine, the U.S. is considering providing a $1 billion loan to help secure the Ukrainian economy. They are also talking to several regions about the natural gas supply in case of a major disruption. Michelle?
All right, Weijia, thank you. If Russia does invade Ukraine, it could drive gas prices even higher. The price of oil is already above $90 a barrel, the highest it's been since 2014. Errol Barnett is following this in Washington. Errol, good morning.
Hey there, Michelle. Good morning. You know, typically we see gas prices dip at this time of year when it's colder. People are spending more time at home and less time on the roads. But 2022 is different. Take a look at this. AAA says that the national average price for a gallon of gas has climbed to $3.49 in the past week. That's 19 cents more than a month ago and nearly a dollar more than a year ago. Now, the main cause of this recent jump is the high cost of crude oil. According to the U.S. Energy Information Administration, more than half of the cost of gas that we pay is dependent on the price of oil, and Russia produces more than one-tenth of the world's oil supply. So, of course, any military action by Russia in Ukraine could send the price of oil well over $100 per barrel. But here's an important detail. The U.S. is not a major importer of Russian oil, but certainly if the global market value of a barrel jumps, we're talking about a domino effect here that will eventually be felt at American gas pumps. So certainly what happens overseas, Tony, could definitely hit you in your wallet.
Yeah, it's a big interconnected world, Errol. Thank you very much. We go down to Louisville, where a shocking attack allegedly happened to a Democratic candidate for mayor. He says a gunman walked into his campaign office and fired at him yesterday. The candidate's name is Craig Greenberg, and he says one of the bullets grazed his sweater. Fortunately, no one was hurt. Four colleagues in the office managed to shut the door and barricade it. Police arrested Quintez Brown, a local activist about a half mile from the scene, and he's charged with one count of attempted murder, four counts of endangerment. No motive so far, according to officials.
Wow. Well, this morning, tennis great Novak Djokovic confirmed he is not vaccinated for COVID, an issue that got him barred from the Australian Open last month. He told our partners at the BBC that he's ready to skip the next two Grand Slam tournaments if vaccines are still required. Chris Livesay has more from that exclusive interview. Chris, good morning.
Good morning, Michelle. That's right. Novak Djokovic breaking his silence, but not his convictions. The world's greatest men's tennis player says he's willing to give it all up for his right to refuse the vaccine.
No one likes winning more than Novak Djokovic, but not, says the 20-time Grand Slam champion, at any cost.
Are you prepared to forego the chance to be the greatest player that ever picked up a racket? Statistically, because you feel so strongly about this jab?
Yes. I do.
Why, Novak? Why? Why?
Because the principles of decision-making on my body are more important than any title.
Forgoing his legacy in order to forego the vaccine. In January, he was set to travel down under for the Australian Open to defend his title for the fourth time. The only problem? Australia requires vaccination to enter.
Have you received any vaccination against COVID?
I have not.
But the Serbian superstar received an exemption because he says he tested positive for COVID in December. However, upon arrival, authorities questioned unforced errors on his paperwork. Finally, after 11 days of back and forth, he was deported by the immigration minister on health and good order grounds.
Is it good to be home?
It was a dramatic grand finale in a country that lived through one of the toughest and longest lockdowns in the world. More than 80% of Australians agreed he should be kicked out. But to the growing anti-vax movement around the world, the tennis champion had become a champion of their cause, whether he liked it or not.
What do you say directly to anti-vaccination campaigners around the world who proudly declare Novak Djokovic is one of us?
I say that everyone has the right to choose to act or say whatever they feel is appropriate for them. And I have never said that I'm part of that movement.
He doesn't oppose all vaccines, but he refused the COVID vaccine in the interest of not interfering with his intense athletic conditioning, a right to choose he defends for all.
It's really the principle of understanding what is right and what is wrong for you. And me as an elite professional athlete, I've always carefully reviewed, assessed everything that comes in from the supplements, food, the water that I drink or sports drinks, anything really that comes into my body as a fuel that I can benefit from.
If this means that you miss the French Open, is that a price you'd be willing to pay?
Yes, that is the price that I'm willing to pay.
And if it means that you miss Wimbledon this year, again, that's a price you're willing to pay?
Yes.
Now, the U.S. also requires vaccination in order to enter the country, so he risks missing the U.S. Open as well. When asked if he would reconsider getting the vaccine, Djokovic said his mind remains open. Vlad?
All right, Chris Lipsay for us in Rome. Thank you very much. Can't get mad at him for standing up for his convictions, but he can't be mad if states and tennis organizations say you can't participate.
You can get confused because 25, 50 years from now, he's just going to be a name on a graphic at a tennis tournament and it's going to say he's not the greatest. And does he really want that? Aren't you playing for...
I want to know what he's reading, what data, what science. I want to know what he's basing this belief on, because I think that would clear up a lot for us.
I don't think that... I think that's going to be a pile of question marks. A huge heap of question marks.
Sure are.
We'll see. Yeah. All right. At the Winter Olympics, the women's figure skating competition began this morning. It includes the gold medal favorite, Kamila Valieva of Russia. After a court ruled she is eligible to compete, even though she tested positive for banned substance. Jamie Yukis is in Beijing, where she learned how the 15-year-old tried to explain that failed drug test. Jamie, good morning.
Good morning, Vlad. That's right. All eyes are on Valieva. The short program competition is underway right now at the Capitol Indoor Stadium, and the Russian team takes the ice very soon. Meanwhile, new details as the International Olympic Committee revealed that the team claimed the positive test was because of a mix-up with her grandfather's heart medication. But many officials remain upset over the decision allowing her to compete.
We'll do everything to investigate this case properly, and the doping of children is evil and unforgivable.
The chief of the World Anti-Doping Agency, or WADA, joined a host of others yesterday in expressing dismay after the Court of Arbitration for Sport ruled Kamila Valieva could continue skating. The IOC announced yesterday that any competition in which Valieva finishes in the top three will no longer have a medal ceremony. Ice dancer Madison Hubble helped Team USA finish second behind the Russian Olympic Committee in the team event last week.
I think it's a huge disappointment. It's something that we accomplished together, and it's not the same at all to have that experience taken away.
Meanwhile, Valieva broke her silence to Russian media, saying, "These days have been very difficult for me. I'm happy, but I'm tired emotionally."
You play with fire, you get burned. And here Russia strikes again.
Travis Tigert is the head of the U.S. Anti-Doping Agency.
The Russians can't be trusted to properly implement the rules. And we've all known that going back to 2014 when Russia's state-sponsored doping was first exposed.
Down low by Hillary Knight. Back across. Score!
Elsewhere at the games, the Team USA women's hockey team finds itself face-to-face with its bitter rival Canada in the gold medal game. The team scored a 4-1 semifinal win yesterday against a solid Finland team.
Rock with her first Olympic goal.
That was fun to watch. Meanwhile, yesterday we told you about curling's team rejects needing to get on a roll. Well, John Schuster's rink scored a 7-4 win over Switzerland in their effort to make it to the medal round. And skier Michaela Schifrin gave it a go in her first ever Olympic downhill, but she did come up short of the podium. Vlad.
Still celebrating her, still celebrating Team USA. Go rejects, go Team USA in hockey. Jamie Yukis for us in Beijing. As always, Jamie, we thank you.
I'm Mo Rocca, and I'm excited to announce season 4 of my podcast, Mobituaries. I've got a whole new bunch of stories to share with you about the most fascinating people and things who are no longer with us. from famous figures who died on the very same day to the things I wish would die, like buffets. Listen to Mobituaries with Mo Rocca on the iHeartRadio app or wherever you get your podcasts.